Thank you, Kara. I will then call the CROG Cost Review Subcommittee meeting for Monday, November 15th, 2021 to order. And Karen, if you would please call the roll.
Hey, John. Good morning, everyone. We'll start with the town handover. Avon, Berlin, Bloomfield.
John Coleman here.
And Jonathan Teesey.
Canton, Columbia, Coventry, East Granby, East Hartford, East Windsor, Ellington, Enfield, Farmington, Glastonbury, Granby,
Kirk Severant,
City of Hartford, Hebron, Manchester,
Capital Marvel,
Mansfield, Marlborough, City of New Britain, Newington, Plainville, Rocky Hill, Simsbury.
Present.
Summers, South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle here.
Southington, Stafford, Suffield, Tolland, Vernon.
Good morning, Karen. Dave Smith here.
Thank you. West Hartford.
Good morning. Greg Summer and Jim Brennan are here.
Thank you. Wethersfield. Willington. Windsor.
Adam Kessler, Town of Windsor.
Windsor Locks. Is there anyone else here from any other organizations? Okay, John, back to you.
Thank you very much, Karen. Welcome all. And we're on item number two, the public forum. Is there anyone who wishes from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number three, which is adoption of our minutes of our meeting held on September 20, 2021. And I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
This is Jeff Doolittle. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Dave Smith. Vernon second that.
Thank you very much. Any corrections, deletions, additions? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? And abstentions. Please state your name and town. Hearing none, the minutes are adopted unanimously. We'll move on to item four, Satoria, the proposal opposite funding increases.
Okay, thank you, John, and good morning to everybody. So this is a, the memos were included in your packet and they're also on the website. The this is for a cost increase request from Simsbury. It's for Simsbury Hot Meadow Street Connectivity Project. And this project was originally approved as a 4,000 foot standalone sidewalk project. And it was approved for $809,600 in the 2020 solicitation. The project has currently gone through the 90% design phase. And based on the most recent engineer's estimate, the town of Simsbury is requesting a lots of funding increase of $445,979. So it would up the funding increase to $1,255,579 and or the project costs, I should say, and that's a 55% increase. So based on feedback from CONDOT, since the town is on a state roadway, the sidewalk is, the town's proposing to add a retaining wall made of precast concrete blocks in the amount of $123,125. And this would mitigate a direct impact to the wetlands at the Saxton Brook Culvert. Originally, the town had wanted to put in a head wall, but the CONDOT had indicated that if the head wall is replaced, then the culvert would also need to be replaced. So the town determined that this was cost prohibitive and outside the scope of the proposed project and opted for the precast concrete block wall treatment. Additionally, during the public information meeting, the business owners in the project area, they listed a need for street lighting along the proposed sidewalk along the west side of Hot Meadow Street. And the town is requesting the addition of pedestrian level lighting for $208,000, and this would enhance pedestrian safety. The lights will also match the existing lighting downtown in the downtown area just south of the proposed project. The staff recommends committee approval of an additional $444,979 of lots of funding for the Simsbury Hot Meadow Street connectivity project, increasing the funding from $809,600 to $1.255,579.
Thank you, Sartoria. Is someone from the town of Simsbury wish to make any comments?
This is Tom Roy, the town of Simsbury. I think Sartoria did a nice job of summarizing it. Clearly, we're trying to come up with the most cost-effective way for our small river crossing. We thought the modification of the head wall made sense, but when DOT looked at it and they felt that it was going to involve replacing that culvert, it seems that the segmented retaining wall is going to be the cheapest alternative to get us past that spot. And then with the street lighting, it's just, the residents, the businesses that are in that area are really stressed. They saw this as a need to make this a complete project.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have a quick one. Tom, if the culvert isn't replaced, is it going to be 2 years down the road after you get this all built that they decide they're going to replace it and shred what you just did? Or
nothing indicates any poor condition of the existing culvert.
Okay. It's just them being them.
I understand their approach is if you're touching it, let's make everything brand new. But I think, as a town, we tend to be, just at times frugal, and we're trying to find the easiest way to make what we thought was a pretty straightforward sidewalk.
Understood. Thank you.
Any other questions? A motion to approve the staff recommendation and recommend the same to the full committee is in order.
Motion to approve, Adam Kessler.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Kirk Severance, second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Karen, it's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Move on to West Hartford.
Thank you for the approval for Simsbury. So this is for the West Hartford Trout Brook Phase 6 multi-use trail project. And this project was originally approved for $355,200 in the 2014 solicitation and had a subsequent funding increase approval in 2017, making the total project cost estimate $512,400. So the project has currently progressed to the final design phase. Based on the most recent engineer's estimate, the town of West Hartford is requesting a funding increase of $370,800 from $512,400 to $883,200, which is a 72% increase. The multi-use trail, as you probably remember, is proposed on property owned by DEEP, So the town has been working with DEEP since 2019 towards an easement and maintenance agreement. So during the permit review process, DEEP and the Natural Resources Conservation Service determined that the existing and the proposed retaining walls were an obstruction of the floodway. Therefore, the town modified them to alleviate their concerns. The design change increased the cost by $102,000, thus increasing the total project cost to $604,400. Easement and maintenance agreement with DEEP was just recently approved in the fall, and this allows the town to proceed to bidding and construction of the trail. So due to all the delays in obtaining an easement and maintenance agreement and considerable price increases across the board due to industry supply chain, labor shortages, and the cost of project unit prices, everything has increased overall to $883,200 in 2021. Additionally, the town has received bids on an adjoining project to substantiate the increase. So staff recommends committee approval of an additional $307,800 lots of funding for the West Hartford Troutbrook Trail Phase 6 increase in the funding approval from $512,400 to
$883,200. Yeah, it was kind of disturbing. Thank you, Satoria. West Hartford, want to make some comments?
Thank you, John. Greg Summer, Assistant Town Engineer, and thanks for the summary, Satoria. Yeah, so this is just a project that the town has obviously been very eager to finally get constructed. We're working on phase five actively now is in construction. It's been a little bit of a challenge working with DEP, but we're happy to finally have overcome that hurdle and that we feel that this cost increase is pretty reflective of the current condition. Feeling pretty comfortable based on the recent bids that we just had. For the adjacent portion of the trail, that these numbers would be pretty spot on. So that's all I have to add at this point.
Thank you. Any questions of staff or West Hartford?
Greg, when do you think you'd be going out to bid?
We'd be looking to go out to bid hopefully this winter and get this thing into construction early 2022.
Be interested to see if the uncertainty of the supply chain and labor shortages and stuff like that continue.
Yeah. We're hopeful that won't be an issue for us, but yeah, yet to be seen.
Right.
All right. Hearing no further questions, a motion to approve the staff recommendation and so recommend to the full committee would be in order.
So moved.
Thank you, Tom. Is there a second?
Dave Smith will second that from Vernon.
Thank you, Dave. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you all. The motion is approved unanimously, Karen. And thank we will you. Move on to Windsor Locks.
Okay, thank you again for West Hartford approval. So this is for the Windsor Locks Downtown Complete Streets Improvement Phase 1 project. And this project was originally approved for $2.9 million in 2015 solicitation. The commitment to fund letter was issued in June of 2018, and that was for approximately $3.5 million. The project has currently progressed through the semi-final design stage, the 60%, and based on the most recent engineer's estimate, the town of Windsor Locks is requesting a LOTSIP funding increase of $2.3 million from 2.9 to 5.3. It's an 82.2% increase, and we would cap the LOTSIP funding at 5.3. To mitigate the funding increase, the town has agreed to opt out of the 2022 solicitation pending committee approval, and also the town did not pursue a 2020 lots of solicitation project in anticipation of this funding increase request. So they have opted out of both solicitations. The proposed roundabout project is located on State Route 159, which is Main Street in Windsor Locks, and is part of the Windsor Locks Main Street Revitalization Program. And to address the CONDOT roundabout committee design concerns, during the review process, the town consultant, in coordination with CONDOT staff, made several design revisions that require a partial acquisition of a commercial building. A significant portion of the funding increase is the result of the pending ROW acquisition necessary for the project construction, with an additional estimated $705,000 of rights-of-way acquisition costs, including the building demolition. The town's ROW cost share for the angle parking is $29,700. Additionally, the design required substantial changes in the roadway profile and drainage due to the roundabout designs, which were not included in the original design, amounting to $300,000. So due to the design delays, the industry supply chain, labor shortages, the town have seen considerable unit price increases across the board. They've worked diligently to reduce the cost, to eliminate all their amenities, the additional cost combined with increases to the percentage-based estimates. Estimating items resulted in the total estimated increase of $3,092,400. Additionally, the state has made a significant investment in the Windsor Locks train station and transit-oriented development in that area. They envision a shuttle service from the train station to the regional airport. So staff recommends committee approval of the additional $2.3 million of lots of funding for the Windsor Locks Downtown Complete Streets Improvement Project, increasing the funding approval from 2.9 to 5.3, capping the funding at the 5.3. The town has agreed to opt out of the 2022 solicitation. This is the biggest project, as you are aware of, and CROG supports this increase for the town.
Thank you, Satoria. Before we, is there a representative from Windsor Locks that would like to add any comments?
Yes, thank you, John. This is Chris Kervick, the first selectman of Windsor Locks. And I have with us Kristen Soloway from our engineering firm. When you read those, when you read the report and you see the amount of increase, it's certainly a disappointing number for everyone concerned. So I just want to give you a brief background of how this project evolved and why that number jumped so much. The roundabout is the core piece of our complete streets redesign for the new Hartford Line station area. And it's been, it was identified through our complete street study as the major traffic calming measure required for this project. So it's not the only part of the project, but it is sort of the core part of the project. DOT has been involved in this process right from the beginning. And they originally approved the roundabout design that we submitted. Then there was a retirement and a change of personnel, and a roundabout committee was reappointed, and we learned that they no longer felt comfortable with the design. And we agreed that, let's, you know, when you're doing something like a roundabout, which is often met with mixed opinions from local people, you've got to get it right. So we committed to work with DOT to get it right. So the first thing we did is we did a complete redesign of our 30% plan of the roundabout to try and accommodate their concerns. And thought that we had done so, but then were informed that it still didn't meet their concerns. So then we met over a period of time with the roundabout committee. And ultimately, I mean, the good news, if there is good news in such a thing, is that they're all on the same page about the design of the roundabout. The bad news is the shifting of the roundabout to the east, to the north, to the southeast, brought it into conflict with an existing building. And they also raised it quite a bit, so there's a lot more drainage and fill and other redesign of other components that were connected to it. So we've got a roundabout that everyone likes now. And the last communication with DOT was that it, you know, we believe this is a good design. The problem is that it drove the cost, you know, wildly forward. So we recognize that this is a big number. We've worked with DOT staff to their credit. They've been very accommodating in their time. We thought the best way to approach, well, first we went back and said, well, maybe we can do a 2020 solicitation to cover the additional cost. But understanding, since it was not a new project, they said, well, that's really not the right approach. So so we didn't file in for that solicitation. And we've agreed to not do a 2022 solicitation. Lord knows there's plenty of projects that we would could use the funding for. But we think in all fairness to the other communities, it'd be best to sit this one out and understanding, the lights just went out, understanding that the, you know, that this is a big number. And as I said, our engineer is here if there's any specific questions.
Thank you, Chris. And I would just like to add that the staff did, I did get involved in this at the sort of the end. And I think that the solution that the town and the staff and Condot have come up with, I think is a very excellent solution considering the situations and the challenges that the project presented and that the town faced. Particularly in terms of dealing with the change in direction from Condot, but still resulting in what the town thinks will be very useful for them, but resulting in a significant property acquisition that was not foreseen in the original project. So my compliments to all three of you, the town in particular, the CROG staff and Condot for coming up with this solution. While it is expensive, I think it's, in my opinion, it's worthwhile. And the town has certainly been very gracious in its indication that, one, it did not file for the 2020 and it will not file for the 2022. Any questions of the staff or of the town?
I have a question regarding the language capping this at $5,300,000. This is a 60% submittal. If that comes in at 90 and it's higher than that, it's still 5.3. Is that what that indicates, or?
Yes,
that's correct.
Okay.
And the town has agreed to that.
Yes.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the staff recommendation and so move on to the full committee.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Adam Kessler.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? It's approved unanimously. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right. Now the fun one. The solicitation policy for 2022. Rob and Satoria.
Yeah. We had approved a 2020 solicitation policy previously. As we were approving it, we had been in contact with Condot regarding, you know, various efficiencies of the program, and they had informed us that they were going to be releasing a new design guide for LOTSIP, which has not come out yet, but we have seen the changes or portions of the changes. And one of the major, well, I wouldn't say it's a major change, but one of the clarifications we've had, and we've shared it with the committee, and it was part of the handout, is a change to the pavement guidelines at Condot. Now, it's really, it kind of categorizes pavement in four categories. Now, we have two categories right now. We have pavement rehabilitation and reconstruction. Really, when it breaks it down into four, with conduct, there's two categories that are very rarely used. One we've never used, which is pavement preservation, which is chip sealing and the like. We've never gotten an application for that. However, that is eligible under LOTSIP, and we thought it was appropriate to revise our guidelines accordingly with some red revisions. There's not a lot of revisions, but this would make our guidelines mesh with their language with the four categories. So there were some minor edits to the guidelines, one putting category one, which is the chip sealing and other minor pavement improvements into the pavement rehabilitation category, which falls into that cap that CONDOT has of I believe 15%. And then the other category is what they're calling major rehabilitation, which really we have had a couple projects that have used either peel and pave or reclamation, but we call that reconstruction. So really in our guidelines, instead of just saying reconstruction, we clarify it could be roadway reconstruction or major pavement rehabilitation, which is the peel and pave, or that is not under the 15% cap. And we've gotten that in writing from CONDOT that those would not be under the 15% cap. So really what we're trying to do is align our guidelines, which we've already approved, to be a little more, to have the text and the language match what's going to come from CONDOT very soon. Now, there were some other, guidance in CONDOT's pavement selection policy. And I think the main issue might be that with the major rehabilitation, what they're calling major rehabilitation, which falls under our reconstruction category, it's getting very confusing, is that they want test pits every 1,000 feet. Now that is because with reclamation, they want to make sure that the subbase is tested appropriately so that they know, reclamation mixes new material with the existing material, the existing subbase material. So you have to really, they want a good handle on what the existing subbase material is. So they want a test pit every 1,000 feet to collect a soil sample and do analysis on it so that the reclamation design is good. Did we have one reclamation project, Satoria, so far?
Yeah, just very, very few reclamation projects. And then we have had a peel and pave as
one
well.
One peel and pave that has not gone out yet, right?
No.
Right. So this is a rare pavement category. The other news that has come up is that we in talking to CONDOT and trying to make the whole process go more efficiently, we said, listen, why don't you hand over the categorization of these to the to CROG instead of having, getting your pavement unit so involved. So what they said was send us resumes of the firms you want to contract with to do this analysis. And if we pre-approve them, we'll get out of your hair. So apparently we have sent over resumes from a couple from a firm, and we're looking for a second firm too. And apparently they're going to defer to those firms to categorize the pavements accurately for us and to review analyses in the application phase. So, there's no, obviously, it's not in writing that they're going to get totally out of our hair, but I think if they know we have these firms categorizing these things, and we had a free, you could have signed up, Friday was the deadline for the free pavement visual inspection by these firms and categorization. And they'll be involved in the application process going forward. But the thought is that we would take more control over that internally with our consulting staff. And by the time the applications get to CONDOT, everything hopefully will be in accordance with how they want things analyzed or reviewed. So that's the short of it. So, or the long of it, but we've edited up. You'll see in red in the selection policy some edits to reflect especially those changes in terminology and where they fit within our categories. And so I know it's a bit confusing. So if there's any questions, please let me know. But we'll be looking to approve these highlighted changes in red to our selection policy to accommodate what's we anticipate coming out from conduct very soon. So if there's any questions or concerns.
Thank you, Rob. Comments, questions? Hearing Rob, none.
Rob, Peter.
Hello, go Peter.
I just want to understand what you said. So you're talking beyond the visual survey. So if we had to do a core, then the third party would analyze the core, or are they going to analyze the core? Because we're all going to end up with cores.
I believe we're going to look at the cores. We're going to have our review. We're going to have our review of the application. Look at the cores before they get into conduct and make sure that they take a review of the pavement design.
Because we're all going to require to do cores. We're just pushing them off in our application process till afterwards.
Right.
And this has been one of the major issues. Are you taking out 4 inches of asphalt? Are you taking out 4.75 inches of asphalt? Or are you taking out 4.55 inches of asphalt? I mean, this is where DOT hangs us up for months, debating a quarter inch of asphalt.
Yes, they're pre-approving our consultants, and so
I would just make sure, if you could, that cores are included, because that really is, you know, the visual is the visual. We do that every 5 years, so we're all set. But if they're going to still do all the cores, then we're going to be sitting in the same position.
The town, this town's going to still be required to get cores after they're pre-selected based on the visuals and categorization. But then the town has to do the pavement design, and our consultant is allowed to review that. They're not allowed to design it. They're allowed to review the town's design and comment, and then we come to a reconciliation and submit to conduct. And so that's how we're anticipating it going down. Right.
But are they going to honor, the big question is the cores. Are they going to honor our third party core review, or are we just wasting time? I mean, we'll find out, I guess.
We will find out. We have, they haven't provided in writing that they're not going to take a look at anything, but that was the purpose of our whole pavement, getting resumes and everything else, and our discussions with them were to get them more out of the loop.
And we'll see what happens. Now, they haven't shared with you, though, their complete revisions.
They have not, but we've met with a bunch of the different units, and it was, verbally, the pavement is the main change. We have not seen the full document, no.
Right.
Surprises.
They call minor and major, we could have a little bit of difference on. All right, I just wonder if they were sharing. Doesn't sound like they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Any other questions, comments?
This is Jeff from the town of South Windsor. I got a question for Rob. Rob, I'm looking at this pavement description document that's referenced here.
Mm-hmm.
So just to be clear on the core, is this cause for it? I'm just looking at this quickly, so I want you to confirm this. Core is every 500 feet for mill and overlay, 1,000 feet for full depth reclamation or removal of all asphalt. And I assume no cores would be needed for full depth reconstruction, as has been the case.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right. That's how I don't see anything under the full depth category. So it's just the pavement what they're calling pavement rehabilitation, minor and major, the two categories, category two and three. Two, as you mentioned, every 500 feet, which used to be our guidance before was 500 to 1,000. So that's more cores than we've previously provided sometimes.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? You want action on this, I assume, Rob, but we're, to Peter's point, we're acting on this without seeing the final recommendations or policies from CONDOT. Are we being premature?
I just thought it was important to get this in because people are putting together applications and they need to know what they're applying for, if they have a peel and pave, what category it's under, who they're competing against. So it's true that there might be other changes. We don't anticipate other changes just because we've met with a bunch of the units over there.
Okay. With that said, I will entertain a motion to approve the staff recommended draft 2022 solicitation selection process policy for LOTSIP.
So moved.
Thank you, Peter. Is there a second?
Second, Russ Arnold.
Thank you, Russ. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Karen, it's unanimous. Thank you all. Going on to other business, we will have a scheduled right at this point a subcommittee meeting on December 13th at 11:30 as opposed to 11. And is there any other business, staff, Bob, Rob, Kara?
Only one thing. I'm hoping that everybody who's on Transportation Committee can make it to the 12 today. It doesn't seem like we have a huge, we're very close to a quorum. So we want to make sure that everybody can be there so that we do have a quorum. And I think Karen is on the phone calling folks who said they'd be here right now so that we can make sure we do. So thank you. If you could please make sure to make time. Thanks.
And that'll be on this same Zoom room. So if people want to leave it open until 12, you're welcome to, or you can just come back to the same spot for TC at noon.
Very good. Any other business? Motion to adjourn would be in order.
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Assume that was a second.
Sure.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. See you all at noon. Thank you all. Thank you, staff.